What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Fantasy Besties podcast here on the Razzball Network. Thank you for Razzball hosting us here. As always, appreciate you hosting us on the Razzball YouTube page. You can also find audio of the show over on Razzball.com. Definitely check out Razzball's YouTube channel because you could do a live start sit show every Sunday. I actually hopped on with them this past Sunday. Ooh. Yesterday's show is really cool. Like, you had people coming in asking their questions. We were banging through the questions, giving start sits. So definitely check it out. It's usually Sunday mornings from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. I'm JB Barry at Fantasy Coach JB over on Twitter. I'm joined, as always, by my man Jordan Loop at Cantaloupe underscore FF on Twitter. Kevin Tompkins is out this week. Andrew Cooper is still floating around on his honeymoon. Lindellians is having some issues with the Wi-Fi out there in Oklahoma, but she will be on shortly. But we did have to bring in a bestie guestie this week. And we brought in one of our day ones, one of the dudes who has been with us since the Fantasy Besties show started, always active in the chat, made a name for himself in this community. One of my favorite people, the Joey Wright. Say what's up, Joey.
What's going on, guys? You know, I worked for Razzball for almost a year and I never got up on the YouTube channel. So it's great that now that I've left, Gray has decided to finally allow me on here, as I'm guessing as a way to like dangle a carrot to get me to come back. I don't know, but no, super happy to be here. You guys know that. You know, in the beginning, I was learning, like, okay, what are we supposed to do? And I think JB is like, yeah, there's a show I have on tonight. And it was the very first fantasy show I ever watched.
Nice.
So, yeah. And I, for Mondays, for almost, I would say, like 6 months, I was watching every Monday night. And so I learned a lot from you guys. So, yeah, I'm super excited to be here.
I'm glad that
Kevin's not here. So, yeah.
And hopefully he's watching so he hears that one. Yeah. But
no, I got to spend some time with him in Canton. We went to Dave and Buster's together, talked about pro wrestling, had a really good night together.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Loop, what's going on in your world, man?
Oh, man. Glad to be back. So we've had a couple of weeks off here and, glad to just get back in the swing of it for the stretch run here. Just enjoying watching football and going to talk about it a little bit here. So
yeah, talking football is fun. And we really normally we start the show with first down, right? We talk about, you know, everybody gets a chance to talk about what their favorite thing that they saw this week was. But guys, this week we can't bury the lead here. We have to talk about that epic football game that we got to witness yesterday between the Minnesota Vikings and the Buffalo Bills. It was an incredible game. It was fireworks galore. They're still talking about it today, trying to come up with penalties that should have been called and what should have happened and touchdowns that might have happened if that happened, but then field goals happened. So we need to talk about it, and we need to talk about it quick, because coming into this Sunday slate, coming into this game, we didn't even know who the quarterback was going to be for the Bills, right? Like, we were so into this Josh Allen stuff that they were reporting on – what quarterback was taking practice snaps under which centers behind before the game. So, I mean, that's how in-depth this was coming into this game, and we left this game talking about it just as much. So, Joey, what did you get from this game? What are your takeaways, and what did you love to see?
I love to see this entire game. I think I went on Twitter, and I was like, let's just roll this back on February 12th. The most fun I've had watching a professional football game since, I want to say, that Monday Night Football game with Kansas City and the Rams. It was about 3 years ago. Yeah. I think they put up like almost, was it over 100 combined points in that game?
Yeah.
I want to say both had 50. It was insane. Most fun I've had watching a football game since then. Dogs everywhere. I mean, Stephon Diggs looked fantastic. Kirk Cousins looked good. I think Josh Allen's going to make a bounce back. I couldn't believe he fumbled in the end zone. So many different scenarios. Could you have taken a safety? But for me, the big takeaway, Justin Jefferson, he is the guy, could be the best wide receiver in the NFL right now. I know that I've heard, you know, Tyreek Hill, is it Cooper Kupp, DeAndre Hopkins. I really think Justin Jefferson might be pound for pound, because he's so skinny, the best wide receiver in the NFL right now.
And that catch, bro. Oh, my God. That catch was insane. That was the catch. I mean, not only was it a one-handed catch, but he literally took it with his one hand away from the defender, curled it underneath on the ground, switched hands on his back to make sure he kept possession. Like, what? Dude is insane. Like, that was awesome. Luke, what did you love about that game?
That the Bills lost was probably my favorite. as a Dolphins fan, that was my favorite part. So my favorite play was that fumbled snap in the end zone, and the Bills Twitter had to delete their tweet of, you know, it was like fourth down stop ball game, and then I was like, oops, and then they had to delete that. But thank God for screenshots. So, Josh Allen, not knowing that he was going to play. I mean, I think played as well as you would have expected him had he been healthy. I mean, they didn't get the win, but they're going to be fine. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the AFC regardless. I mean, they are third in the AFC East, so I don't know who would have ever thought that at this point in the season. But, yeah, it was just a fun game all around, offense, defense. Everybody got involved, so.
I love that you get to throw your jabs in there as a Dolphins fan. You get to throw a couple jabs into your answer there, but you can't jab at Linda's guy. Because Linda's guy, I mean, we know how she feels about Josh Allen. That's her guy. Linda, were you happy with his performance? First of all, we talked about how we didn't even know if he was going to play, right? And we were reporting which center he was taking snaps under in the pregame. So he played. He played well. Were you happy to see him out there? And what do you have to say about this game? And thank you for your Oklahoma Wi-Fi, kind of working with us now.
Yeah, it could go up a moment. Listen, I don't know what the second half woes have been in Buffalo, but I saw a tweet today. It's been like several weeks since they scored a touchdown in the second half, which is great if you have Tyler Bass as your fantasy kicker. But from every other aspect, it's just not super thrilling. He's obviously tough as shit. I mean, at the... I thought he'd be precautious about running or throwing deep or whatever it was, and who knows? Obviously the Bills doctors thought he was fine enough to go out there. There's been a lot of discourse about doctors so far this season, so I'm not going to get into all that, but the fantasy football doctors, the Twitter doctors, bro, they were like, he's out for weeks. And so I was expecting a really like impaired Josh Allen to be out there, and he's running and tackling just clearly tough as nails. So it sucks that it didn't win. I can't look at Kirk Cousins shirtless with chains on anymore. I can't do it. It was fun at first, but it's wearing on me. It was a good game. I like all the games that come close, except for that Broncos game when we couldn't get it done. That wasn't fun.
Yeah, let's not get there yet. I don't know that we need to really talk about the Broncos. But, I mean, what I wanted to see, and I look back at to see if that last interception was something that might have been related to his injury. And it wasn't. It was a poor decision. It was a bad throw in traffic. Like, it wasn't like he missed his throw because his arm was messed up. Like you said, he's tough as nails. He went out there. He performed. He was throwing well. He was hitting throws on the sideline to Gabe Davis that were, like, tiptoe on the sideline catches. So, like, he was hitting his throws. This is what I want to point out, right? What happened to the halfback dive, guys? Like, you're first and goal. Why can't you turn around and hand the ball to Dalvin Cook and he flies over the top like you used to do, right? You have a fullback. This is a team that plays with a fullback. So you line up jumbo. You have all your big hog mollies crashing down. Your fullback goes through the hole. Dalvin Cook goes over the top. Touchdown. You're trying to squeeze Kirk Cousins through a little hole there and he's not getting through. Like, we don't see the halfback dive like we used to. Like, I remember watching football and seeing it all the time. If you're at the goal line, you're turning around, you're handing it off, and boom, dude goes airborne. He's in the end zone. Why can't players do that anymore? Why didn't Dalvin Cook do that on four plays yesterday? Why are we trying to get too cute? Is the halfback dive dead, Joey?
I don't know if it's dead. The way that you just talked it up, I want it to come back because now I'm motivated. I'm ready to go out and play myself now. I don't know if it's dead or not.
I mean, we should try it. Next Canton trip, let's just all like crash down and let Linda just go over the top.
Linda's not doing that. I tell you right now.
All right. fine. We'll figure it out. Maybe I feel like Coop would be the type that would want to dive over the top.
Yeah,
of the pile.
Get somebody light and feathery that can like jump. Okay, I can't. No.
All right, you'll be the fullback, Lindy. You can just throw the block for Coop. Okay. But we can't just talk about that game, guys. There was a couple of close games. There was a couple of good games that when nail biters came down to the end of the games, hard fought competitive football. We had a lot of that this week. Detroit Chicago was a nice comeback there. Green Bay Dallas came down to overtime. I mean, that game looked like it wasn't going to be entertaining and ended up being entertaining and going to overtime. Pick one, guys. I mean, pick whichever one you want to talk about. Which did you like? What did you like? What did you see? I mean, obviously there's some low-hanging fruit here when you talk about the Detroit-Chicago game. But, Luke, what do you want to talk about? I mean, it was an exciting day of football.
Yeah, it was a pretty exciting day overall. But my favorite thing that I saw was the Dolphins just obliterate the Browns, you know. And of course, as I already mentioned,
you and Troy, I am not going to be able to root for the Dolphins. Like I love just, Mike McDaniel. I want to do it, but y'all are insufferable. I can't do it.
It's been a long time, Linda, a long time since we've been able to say anything good about the Dolphins, but you know, really it's the AFC East as a whole is what we thought the AFC West was going to be. So the Jets and even the Patriots have kind of overachieved. You have the Broncos and the Raiders, they've underachieved. So that's going to be a fun finish to see how that shakes out and how many of those teams make it into the playoffs. I mean, you assume right now the Bills and the Dolphins, I think are pretty safe bets. We'll see if the Jets can keep it up and sneak in there as well. But it's just been fun to watch that. And, you know, Tua for MVP. That's what I'm saying.
I like it. And we'll talk a little bit about Tua later, too. And it's exciting to watch, right? We talked about it a couple weeks ago. That Dolphins team is just exciting to watch. It's one of those offenses with playmakers that's fast-paced that, you know, you want to watch them with the ball in their hand. And anybody that Tua gets the ball to is making something happen. They're playing electric football, and they're fun to watch. Joey, what about you?
No, I want to give some props to Loop that I love the Tua as MVP call. And I mean, I know I don't think it's tongue in cheek, and I don't think you're being tongue in cheek. We were talking about it the other night, and you know, Mahomes gets mentioned, Josh Allen gets mentioned. I think Tua, if he keeps playing this way, he should be in that conversation this year. So I completely agree with you on that. I mean, since he talked about his team, I'll talk about my team, Buccaneers, two in a row now. They've won top of the division. I'm excited for it. It's nice to be on with a fellow Buccaneers fan too. We're few and far between that were there before the Brady years. Yes. But you know, Rashad White coming out, looking as good as he did. Good news, Leonard Fournette, I guess the hip injury is, they don't think it's going to hold him out past the bye. So I was really happy to see that Leonard Fournette won't be out, but man, Rashad White looks really good. I'm just starting to wonder, is this Tampa Bay offense starting to click when it matters right now? And I hope that it is. But something else in this game that I thought was interesting happened before the game and had to do with Geno Smith. And the news came out that Seattle wants to extend him as their quarterback for the future, for at least next season. And it started to make me wonder if Geno Smith is actually an asset that I'm going to be looking for in Dynasty next year. Do you guys have any opinions on Geno, if you'd want him on your Dynasty team at all? He's looked great. He's a QB 7 this year.
That's a great question, Joey. And I think about it. You got to look at how old he is, right? Linda, what do you think?
Guys, Matt Harmon and James Coe talked about reception perception a couple weeks ago. We're talking about this particular thing. He would be a great quarterback to sign for a year, 2 years, and not have to spend high. Not that they won't have a high draft pick. They will. You're welcome. But they don't have to spend it on a tier quarterback. They can take a guy a little bit later and try to develop him and have Geno Smith there for the next 2 years. He doesn't have to get some 5-year insane contract. He's been playing well. They're clearly winning when he's because of his play, not in spite of him, but because of him. And, you know, occasionally you see some vintage Geno come through. You're like, oh yeah, that's the guy I know. But for the most part, he's played really well. And I don't see any problem giving him a year or two. And in that case, if you're trying to win in Dynasty, absolutely.
I love that you said that, Linda, because every once in a while you do see that old Geno come back and you say, oh, there it is. But you see that from guys like Kyler Murray, who you're drafting as, you know, QB6 every year anyway, right? So why not a guy like Geno who is experienced? Now, I have to be careful, right? Because he's what? He's 32 years old, right? He was born 1990, so he just turned 33 years old. Or no. No, he's 32 years old, right? So I got to be careful because, like, I know, and I might be married to people that are around that same age, so, like, I can't exactly call him old, but he's been around the league for a while, and he is an established veteran, right? So he knows the game. Why not put your team in the hands of a guy who's winning games, who knows how to win, as opposed to just rolling the dice, right? Like, you see all these teams doing it. He's better than Matt Ryan. He's better than Carson Wentz. Like, why not? If these guys keep getting starting gigs, why not Geno? So I like Linda's point. Like, you want to sign him for a year or two, let him be kind of a bridge to your youth. He's a good guy to learn from while winning games.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree too. While they have still a guy there like Tyler Lockett, while, you know, because eventually he may only have a couple years left, so I think he may try to ride it out with this core of offensive guys, and then move on. You'll still in a couple years, you're still going to have Ken Walker is going to still be under rookie contract. Metcalf is still going to be there. You would assume, so it's. You know, I think right now, while you have this kind of offensive core together, you use those draft picks elsewhere, beef up the defense or whatever the case may be, and you don't have to address quarterback, which I think going into the season, we assumed that that their pick was going to be the high one and the Broncos pick was going to be the late one. And the Seahawks were going to – that was what they were going to be doing. They were going to be looking at one of these top guys coming out in the draft, and I don't think that that's going to be their focus. So, I think definitely they'll roll with Geno for another couple years. And if you're trying to, like Linda said, if you're trying to win in Dynasty, which not everybody is trying to do, it seems everybody wants to youth and value. But if you're a win now and think you're a contender, I definitely think he's an asset for Dynasty.
My sitemate Simon over at FYF, he likes to play in 3-year windows in Dynasty, and he just looks at everything in a 3-year window. And so him and I were getting really pumped up for Geno Smith with that. But this whole situation in Seattle has made me start to wonder, like, was Russell Wilson just a system quarterback this whole time and we just didn't realize it? So
Russell Wilson is like a curse word to Linda at this point, I think.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring it up. But I'm just throwing darts at Linda. I spoke about the guy that's playing in front of Drew Lock, and I spoke about Russell Wilson. So I probably should just sit here and mute my mic for a while.
No, but, you know, to the point of why not, guys, like, what I want to talk about, my first down this week is Jeff Saturday. Why the hell not? So first of all, congratulations. Jeff Saturday got the W. Now, he got the W against a coach who's probably worse than him, against a team that's worse than his. But here's my point, right? So I see guys like Bill Cowher out there talking about, like, it's an abomination to the sport. Like, you can't, you know, guys have to pay their dues to get into this. Like, bro, what did you do to pay your dues? Like, you just rolled in and took somebody's job, like, because you were a name, because you were a former player, right? That's how you got your job, Bill Cowher. So don't sit here and throw shade on somebody who got this job the same way by being a former player. There have been other successful former players, maybe not in this sport, but Aaron Boone came right out of the ESPN booth, and he's a successful Major League Baseball manager. Mark Jackson, Steve Kerr did it in the NBA. Both came from the booth, became pretty successful NBA coaches. So this could be an opportunity for other former players. And I get it. The hire was unorthodox. It was something out of the realm. But what Jeff Saturday said in an interview after the game yesterday really rang to me, and it made me a Jeff Saturday fan. He goes, guys, I might not be, you know, from a coaching tree or have this coaching experience, but I know I'm a good leader of men. And if he can motivate them, really, when you think about it, how much does a head coach really contribute to the ins and outs of the game, right? If you surround yourself with good people, with good coordinators, with good point people, it's like a business to me, guys. Like, I think about it, NFL is a business. So if you look at it and you take it down to the team level, why can't that team operate like a company, right? So if Jeff Saturday is the head coach, He's the CEO of the company who might not know every little thing about what happens in accounting and finance and what happens in purchasing. So if you have a good finance manager and a good purchasing manager, you can be a good CEO of a good company. So if he's a leader of men and he can get the best out of these guys, and he could pinpoint a guy like Parks Frazier, who's a 30-year-old with no play calling experience at this level, and say, this kid is going to be something. He could be the next Sean McVay, whatever. You go ahead, assistant to the head coach in 2018, pass game specialist guy, because he tried to give it to the quarterback's coach. Quarterback's coach said, nah, my contract's expiring. I don't want anything to do with this train wreck. So he said, all right, fine. I'm going to go to the hungry kid, and I'm going to get the best out of the hungry kid. And if you watch the post-game presser, not even the press conference, the post-game locker room interactions, when he called Parks out and said, great job, Parks, the locker room freaking exploded. Like, these guys are behind Parks Frazier. They're behind Jeff Saturday, it seems. So if you're going to get the best out of this team, I don't care what your experience is, guys. I'm going to sit back now and say, this might be something we could all learn from, right? From a business perspective, I'm looking at this as someone who has had managers that don't know what I do day in and day out. They didn't come from my world. They didn't work sales. Maybe they worked accounting. Maybe they worked purchasing. But now they're the leader of the company, but they're managing sales. But they don't know my day-to-day, but they're still motivators. They're still good leaders. Why can't that be the same here? So I'm going off, guys. Like, I don't know. Like, a week ago, I was like, this is freaking weird. They're tanking. They're hiring, like, a former center who knows nothing. Like, he lost 7 games at the high school level last time he coached. Like, this is weird. But right now, I'm going, why the hell not, man? Why the hell not? Let him be a leader of men. Let him give opportunities to guys like Park Frazier. He's got good guys with him. He's got Gus Bradley and John Fox on defense to run that defense. I mean, he's got guys around him that can do their part while he leads the men and motivates them. That's my rant, guys. That's where I'm at right now. I'm Team Saturday right now, and I'm rooting for him.
Amen.
That was really passionate, but I'm not sold.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just thinking this whole time, like, JB, it's been one game against the Raiders. Yeah. And yeah. You're talking about if he thinks Parks could be the next Sean McVay. I'm like, come on.
He also got the nod from Jim Irsay to start the appropriate starting quarterback. Now, yeah, Matt Ryan has not been great. But
if I'm Frank Reich, I am absolutely livid that I was forced to play Sam Ehlinger. And then next thing you know, Jeff Saturday walks in off the street and is like, I think we should go with Matt Ryan. And Irsay's like, okay, why not?
Yeah, dude.
I mean,
it's just, it's super messy. It looks really unprofessional. Jim Irsay tweeted some weird shit today. Not that he hasn't been saying weird shit for the last week, but I just... If it works, good for them. Somebody on Twitter said that Jeff Saturday play Papa John's in a Papa John biopic. I can't stop thinking about it. He looks just like that man. So that's my analysis on the Jeff Saturday hire.
Guys, it might not work. It honestly might not work. But why the hell not, right? Like, why give the interim head coach job to, you know, some guy who's been around for a while, right? Let's give it a Rusty Jones, the director of sports performance, because he's got 35 years experience. Like, why? Just try something. Jim Irsay is a freaking weirdo.
I also want my CEO of my company to know what's going on everywhere. Like, I get what you're saying. I understand your analogy. That being said, the CEO, like, what's going on with the finances? And he's like, I'm not like thrilled to work for that. I think,
right, but who's to say he's not going to learn it? Who's to say he's not going to learn it though, Linda? Right? So, like,
I'm not saying he doesn't know it. I'm just saying, in your analogy, you said the CEO doesn't need to know anything. And from where I'm as an employee, if my boss does not know what's going on a micro level, that's an issue for me.
Right.
I'm not saying he doesn't know it. I'm not saying he can't learn it. I'm saying if he can't or doesn't already, that's where a problem lies.
So if your boss gets hired into that position without the experience of, let's say, finance, for example, he's going to align himself with the right finance manager who might already be in place. And he's going to go to that finance manager and say, hey, finance manager, teach me about this. Why does this happen? Why do you do that? And now he knows about finance. So He could very well do that.
I'll believe it. I tell you what, they're going to have to beat somebody besides the freaking Raiders.
I think maybe they'll win one or two more games this season. I don't think they're going to go on a run now and be a playoff team. But why the hell not is my stance. Hey, so go, Jeff.
Nathaniel Hackett said you could go on a run anytime in the season. So anyway.
I see comments in there. Bill, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate that you're in there. But no, I don't think he's going to go pick up Ronald Jones.
That was pandering if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, it was. Womp womp. Scampers in the house. What's up, Scampers? We don't talk about Urban Meyer here, yeah, Scampers.
This is a safe place. Scampers just wants to see me go off the rails about Urban Meyer.
Kevin O'Connell has changed the culture for the Vikes. Yeah, I mean, we talked about his what were we talking about in the chat today, Loop, about how few people Kevin pointed out, how few people they run out on offense there.
Yeah, they have a core group of guys, and they don't. There's no fourth and fifth wide receiver coming in there to play. I mean, it's the three guys, just Jefferson, Thielen, and Osborne, and they're rolling with them. So,
yep,
yeah. And Bill, I see your question about Judy. We'll get to that a little later when we get into injuries. I want to know, Linda, we didn't get your first down yet. So before we move on to the next topic, what is your first down?
Oh, it's NFC West is still just the Kansas City Chiefs division. And that's such a downer because, like, heading into the season, you were like, oh, it's going to get real competitive. No. The Raiders are garbage. The Broncos might be two of the Raiders' three wins come next weekend, which is terrifying. Joe Lum does not need to be an offensive coordinator for Justin Herbert. He is ruining some of the best years. It's absolutely insane that you're not playing to your quarterback's best ability. Besides the fact that he's throwing to a guy named Michael Bandy, who I've never heard of. So that's also an issue. And the rib injury obviously set them back as well. So there's been a lot of issues with the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Raiders are just plumb bad. And the Chiefs still rule the domain. And that shit sucks because I was really hoping that AFC West would be competitive once again.
Yeah, maybe one day, Linda. Maybe one day. If you
Not
you
know, for if at you... least seven more years, bro. Not for seven more years.
Yeah, but I think you're absolutely right about the Chargers, right? Like, we need somebody to get the best out of Herbert, and it ain't happening this year. So I hope that his youth and his peak years don't get ruined by bad coordinators and bad play calling. And hopefully they'll be the ones that get to come up and push the Chiefs a little sooner than that 7-year
Maybe
window.
They could call Jeff Saturday.
There you go. Maybe he could lead men. You're an ass.
Just go get Phillip Rivers. He has high school coaching experience. So
maybe. You know
what? And he's a leader of men.
So. He's a leader of teenage boys. I don't know about men.
I would pay to watch Phillip Rivers coach every Sunday, not because I really like Phillip Rivers, just for the meltdowns. Like,
they're oh, so I can't wait to hear Dad Gummit and all that.
off. Maybe the Chargers will go and poach Parks Frazier as their new offensive coordinator. We did talk a little bit about that Detroit-Chicago game. We mentioned it, that it was a nice, exciting football game. Yeah, Herbert does need his wide receivers. Yeah. But a guy who kind of doesn't need his wide receivers is Justin Fields, guys. I mean, this dude is lights out. You're getting running back production from the quarterback who doesn't have a lot of wide receivers. He's brought Linda's man, Cole Kmet, back from the dead. We've got really exciting. Now, granted, he's not winning football games, but shoot, this is a fantasy football show, guys. He's winning fantasy football matchups all across the world right now. So I think his play has just been unbelievable. And I want to know where you guys put him rest of the season compared to some of the other quarterbacks. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw a name out there and we're just going to go around the room and you tell me if you'd rather, would you rather have Justin Fields or the quarterback that I mentioned? Yeah, Jay, Cole Kmet Club is right, baby. So I'm going to say a name. We're going to go Loop, Joey, Linda. Would you rather Justin Fields or Tom Brady?
For fantasy football?
Fantasy football rest of the season.
Justin Fields, easily.
Justin Fields. Oh, that hurt.
Yeah, it's fun to watch Tampa Bay Bucks, have to say that. Justin Fields.
Yeah, it's Justin Fields. And I'm starting with a couple of softballs for you guys. I'm lobbing them up there. But it's just to put context behind this, right? Because coming into this season, we were talking about Justin Fields as like a back-end QB2, like a guy that you'll grab in your super flex leagues. So when I put him up against these guys like Tom Brady or the next guy, Aaron Rodgers, would you rather Justin Fields or Aaron Rodgers rest of the season, Lou?
Fields, just strictly for the rushing. I mean, Fields.
Joey?
Yeah, he's a cheat code right now. It's Justin Fields.
Yep.
It is. It's Justin Fields over Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And we would not have thought we would be saying that before.
Yeah, I'd take Justin Fields over both of them in real football right now. Like, outside of fantasy, I'd still probably take Justin Fields.
That one's closer. That one's closer because there is something to be said about able to win games, able to hoist trophies. Right?
I think the Bears want that. I think the Bears showing that, I think Justin Fields showing that he's taken a step forward, but not winning games is quite literally the best thing that could be happening to the Bears right now.
Yeah.
They can go and build him in the offseason, knowing that they have the answer at quarterback. Like that, this is prime. You're crushing it in terms of a rebuild.
Yep, 100%. 100%. And their coach will not get any accolades for coach of the year. But in a fantasy circle, we're calling him our coach of the year because he's bringing out the best in Justin Fields that we've wanted to see that last year we didn't see. So shout out. But now I'm going to get a little bit tougher. Lou, would you rather Justin Fields or Joe Burrow?
Ooh, yeah, that's a little tougher. I'm going to stick with Fields. If I knew Ja'Marr Chase was fully healthy and he was going to be back like next week, then it may be a different story. But they're a little shorthanded. He doesn't have the rushing upside that Fields does. So I'll stick with Fields for fantasy.
Yep. Joey, what about you?
Okay, so this is where I'm going to deviate away, but I have a reason. I hate Justin Fields' playoff schedule. Weeks 15 and 16. He's got the Bills and, who is it? I believe it's the Broncos. You do not want to have him against those two teams. But he's got Detroit in week 17, so fire Justin Fields up again there. But I like Burrow's schedule rest of the season better than Fields, so I'm going to kind of cheat, but that's why I want Burrow. Because it's not a cheat. That's a real reason.
No, that's fair. Linda?
That's fantastic. I like Loop said, if I knew Ja'Marr Chase wasn't still on crutches and should have gone on IR, then I would maybe be a little bit tougher, but I'm still going Justin Fields.
Yeah, and I'm legitimately worried that we might not see Ja'Marr Chase back in at all if they start losing a couple games. So I'm actually going to lean Justin Fields on this one too, just because I'm wanting to win right now, and I'm wanting to make that playoff push in most of these leagues. So I want the guy who's hot right now with his weapons at his disposal. Would you rather Justin Fields or Kyler Murray?
Justin Fields.
Joey?
It's Justin Fields for me.
Linda?
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury is a fucking joke. Justin Fields.
Oh, coming in hot.
Okay, so I like Kyler's rushing upside the same way we like Fields' rushing upside, but Kyler's hampered by a hamstring, and he's already lost a wide receiver. He's not playing well, and, you know, to Linda's point,
he's lost his tight end.
Lost his tight end. So I'm going to go with Justin Fields here, too. And that's interesting to say because, again, you think back to when we were drafting, Kyler Murray was in that top five, top six discussion. Justin Fields wasn't anywhere near it. Now we're all picking Justin Fields over Kyler Murray. Here's one for you, Loop. Justin
Tua,
Fields
Tua.
Or Tua?
Yeah. And you may call me a homer, but I think at this point I would switch over to Tua. He has better weapons. I think on a week-to-week basis, you're going to get the consistency, and you still have the upside that he can have those really big games. I think with Fields, you've seen some – I know it hasn't been for a few weeks now, but you've seen some lows for him. So I would rather have the consistency knowing that you have a Jalen Waddle and a Tyreek Hill and these guys that that you don't have to worry about who's he going to throw to and all that. So for me, I would go Tua on this one.
Joey?
Yeah, it comes down to receiving options in this matchup. And Tua, he's got, you know, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle's best in the world right there in the NFL right now. So it's going to be Tua for me.
Linda?
Give me just a minute. I have to find a thing so I can not sound like a dumbass when I say something out loud. Give me 4 seconds. I'm like right there.
All right. Well, while you find it, I'm going to say that both of these quarterbacks have offenses that are being catered around their strengths. So they're both in good situations to play good fantasy football. I would love for both of them or either one of them in my lineup. But if I was going to pick one, I'm picking Tua because of the weapons he has around him as well. I'm with you guys on that one. Linda?
I'm going to be on the opposite side of this. In terms of consistency, Tua has strung together 4 really good games in a row. The last 4 games have been great. I know he had some injuries there. Again, where I'm not talking about doctors because that was a mess. But it's great. His receiving options are fantastic. They're yaks out of control. You know, all those underthrows. Sorry, Loop. The thing is still rushing upside. Should Waddle or Hill have an injury and miss some time, then that concerns me for Tua. Justin Fields is finished, barring tonight. He's going to be QB1 overall the last 2 weeks. Before that, he was like QB4. The week before that, QB8. He is, since their loss on Thursday night to the football team, he has been on an absolute tear. They seem to finally have opened up the offense a little bit and let him kind of play to his strengths. I don't see any reason for them to bottle that back up. And so long as he's playing at the level he is right now, I really just don't. I'm not sure that there's anybody outside of Hurts and Mahomes that I want besides Justin Fields.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And Eric chimed in on the chat, rushing upside over everything, right? Because that rushing upside is there, and that's what we love to see out of our fantasy quarterback. So shout out to Eric. Thanks for joining the chat. I like how Eric hopped in and said, Cup, high ankle, which we're going to go to in our injury section. But then Craig asked, how did Justin's ankle get high? Craig always coming in with the funnies for us. We're going to rapid fire these last few guys because I do want to get on to the next topic, but I do want to kind of take this up the ladder and see how high we can get Justin Fields here. So real quick, I'm going to say a name. We'll go around. Justin Fields or would you rather Justin Fields or Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
Justin Fields.
We're split. I'm going Justin Fields also.
Okay.
Would you rather Justin Fields or Justin Herbert?
Justin Fields.
Yeah, it's Fields.
It's Fields. But again, Justin Herbert's offensive coordinator is ruining his third season NFL right now. It's not good. And he has no receivers. If he had all of his receivers, I might have a different stance. But as it stands right now, it's Justin Fields.
Yeah, it is Justin Fields, which is weird because we were talking about Herbert as that QB3, right? We talk about Allen, Mahomes, Herbert all preseason. Not anymore. We're all taking Justin Fields over him now. Would you rather Justin Fields or Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts. Yeah, I think that's
Jalen Hurts.
Yep, Hurts.
Yay, right. Linda's with us.
And it's Hurts for me too. Would you rather Justin Fields or Josh Allen?
Josh Allen. I still want Josh Allen.
Yeah, it's Josh Allen.
Daddy.
I wanted to say it, but I didn't want to take it from you.
I appreciate that.
And finally, Justin Fields or Patrick Mahomes?
Mahomes.
Mahomes.
Say it, Linda.
No. I already said it once. I said it several quarterbacks ago. Don't make me say it again.
So, guys, by consensus out of this little exercise that we did here, Justin Fields is kind of like a top 5 quarterback rest of season by the way that we're talking about things here. Is that crazy? I was looking back at Yahoo rankings preseason and it was QB 16. He wasn't even talked about in the QB 1 conversation, and now we're talking about him being a top 5.
This outside of 2021, this happens every single year where one or two quarterbacks outside of the top 12 rises into that top 8 quarterback range. I used to kind of preach the quarterback tandem strategy, and then I kind of got scared away from it in 2021 because no quarterbacks outside the 12, I was outside the top 15, came into the top 12. So it was a little scary, but this year you have Tua, you had Justin Fields. It's back on track.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And I love to see it. And you love to see guys kind of stepping up into roles, right? So like they're stepping up. Justin Fields, Tua, Jalen Hurts are stepping up into this QB1 range, QB2, if you want to call those top guys on their own level. They're in there now. They're legitimately squaring that conversation as top 5, top 6 type quarterbacks. And I didn't even put Dak Prescott in this list or guys like that who were also being drafted well ahead of Justin Fields. So I think it's exciting to see, and I'm glad to see it.
You left out Geno Smith, you coward.
Oh, yeah, Geno too. I mean, he was really undrafted. There was definitely people taking Tua and Fields in drafts, like towards the end, just to, you know, like, hey, I'll put him on bench, see what happens. But no one was drafting Geno.
No, and people weren't even picking up Geno right away.
Because I was drafting Drew Lock.
Yeah, we didn't even know Geno was the starter until like preseason week 3, you know?
And then even after a few good games, everyone was like, ah, it's Geno. I'm not going to pick him up. He's going to fall back to being Geno. And then finally, by like week 3, week 4, they were like, oh, maybe I should pick up Geno. And now he's their starting quarterback.
Like, he technically had a bad game yesterday, but it was still good. Like, so it wasn't even really a bad game.
Yep. So running backs are also starting to emerge, guys. It's not just quarterbacks. And when I talk about that, I want to go a little bit more in depth into some of these running back rooms that are tandem, split backfields that are starting to take a little bit of shape now. We're seeing in places like Kansas City, Detroit, Chicago, these split backfields, we're starting to kind of get a glimpse into who the better back is. So for the people watching, I want to talk a little bit about which back do you want more going forward in these backfields? What do you like? What have you seen? And who are you most confident in moving forward? So we talk about Pat Mahomes, right? Pat Mahomes' running back room is a little bit crazy. We saw Isaiah Pacheco kind of take over that backfield yesterday. CEH, like, barely sniffed the field. I think he went out, he picked up a blade of grass, and he ran back to the sideline. McKinnon's still involved as a pass catcher. That's a backfield that I want none of CEH. So my answer to that is CEH, if you want to hold on to him, he's never going to leave your bench. Isaiah Pacheco is a guy that if he's still out there, go ahead and grab him because he's going to have a role. You see he's going to have a role. Guys, I have so many best ball Ronald Jones shares, and you saw Bill kind of joked about that before because I came into this season going, CEH sucks. He's going to lose his job. When we were drafting all offseason, it was before all the Pacheco news. So I was like, well, hey, I'll grab Ronald Jones and think maybe he's the guy who takes it because CEH is garbage. But it's Pacheco. So if you could still get him, grab Pacheco. If you need a bye week fill-in PPR guy, grab McKinnon. But CEH, dust, as our boy Kevin Tompkins would say. What about the Lions, Linda? What do you think about the Lions' backfield?
The Lions backfield's tough because I don't think Dift is healthy. And obviously that's been an issue all season so far. I think either back that you're starting in Detroit, you're starting them in the hopes that one of them ends up in the end zone. Like that's, you were shooting for a touchdown. And if you don't get that touchdown, it's probably not going to be a very good player, but I'm not super confident in either. I think regardless of which one you start, you're hoping that they end up in the end zone. And they have, which is fine. So, like, you know, one of them has, I think, every game since the bye week. So, you know, you got to roll with those times.
What about in Chicago, Joey? What do you think about what's going on there? That's a tricky one.
Yeah, it's very tricky. I think some of the trick might have got taken out of it, though, with the news that Khalil Herbert might be injured. And I would not be shocked if you see Khalil Herbert get shut down for the season. David Montgomery is an unrestricted free agent once the season ends. So he can go wherever he wants. And Khalil Herbert has looked like the better running back this year. But I feel like Chicago, they're giving David Montgomery more carries, they're just going to run him to the wheels fall off. I really truly believe that. I've kind of been saying that a lot lately. But then when the injury came up today, I was like, man, they really just might shut Khalil Herbert down. If Khalil Herbert comes back in a week or so, I think this is a 60-40 backfield with David Montgomery taking the lead in it. I really do. You know, Chicago's not in playoff contention, so.
And we were talking about them building for the future, right? And Linda made a good point about them playing competitive football but not winning games, which will help them build for the future. And you make a good point with Montgomery, you know, being probably gone after this year, even though Herbert's looked like the better back and he looked like the more explosive back and he's been the better back for the offense. It's like, all right, let's, you know, run the tread off of these tires and switch this car out for a newer one next year when we're really going for it. So I like that, Joey. It's a good point you make there. Luke, I was going to take this one, but I left it for you because it's your team. So tell me about Miami.
Yeah, and I never, famously never talk about the Dolphins. So I appreciate you letting me have this one. Jeff Wilson is the guy that you want out of this backfield. So in his first week on the team last week, he came in and it was a pretty even with Raheem Mostert. But you could already see like, wow, okay, they've given him this much work on the first week. So that people were already starting to feel like, okay, there's something here. And then this week it was very much in Jeff Wilson's favor. So 61% of the snaps to 28. You know, it's just now Mostert still had a pretty good day, but they also scored 39 points and the Browns defense wasn't really putting up much of a fight. So they both ended up having pretty good days. They both got in the end zone, but the volume was there more so for Wilson. So he pretty much doubled up Mostert as far as touches go. So that's who you're going to want to be the consistent guy moving forward. Now, I'm not saying Raheem Mostert is somebody that you should go out and drop. He has a role still. He's still part of a committee. It's not, you know, Jeff Wilson's not going to get 80-90% of snaps on a given week, right? So, and it is a good offense. They are going to put up points. So there is going to be something there for Mostert. But, you know, if I'm choosing between the two, it's definitely looking like Jeff Wilson moving forward. So, It looks like a good get. I mean, both of them have the familiarity with Mike McDaniel, so he knows how to use both guys, and they've both looked really good so far. So it's very exciting that they were able to make a trade, get rid of Chase Edmonds, who is doing nothing, will continue to do nothing for the Broncos. Linda, I'm sorry. But, yeah, so it's looking like a nice tandem there with Jeff Wilson as the lead guy.
And I love to see it, and I love to hear you say that, because if you remember back the last time we were on this show, my waiver wire pickup was Jeff Wilson, because I told everybody, everyone's out here dropping Jeff Wilson because Christian McCaffrey got traded over to San Francisco. And I said, pick up Jeff Wilson and stash him because of CMC's injury history. Little did we know he'd get traded to Miami, get reunited with a former coach and become a lead back again. So
wrong process, great result.
Yeah, that worked out. But I mean, I have a ton of shares of Jeff Wilson and I love to see it. So, I mean, he looks great in that offense. Again, another playmaker added to that offense for Tua, that just ball in his hands makes things happen. Joey, you talked about the Bucs a little bit before. You talked about Rashad White, Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
I think that Fournette's injury, like you said, he should be back after the bye. As the two Bucs fans here, personally, I think that both of these guys are like high-level flex type of players. I don't think either one of them really sits comfortably in that RB2 range because I think they're going to continue to eat at each other's value. So I'm a little nervous to put them as RB2s, but I think they're both viable flexes right now at this point. What do you think?
Yeah, it would have to take an injury for either White or Fournette, which we might no, we're not going to have that Fournette. It came out that it wasn't bad. It would have to take an injury for one of them to move into that RB2 category. Although we do have 12 teams that still have not had their bye week yet. So they might be de facto RB2s. And some of those, I think week 14, we have six teams on bye. Yeah. And I need to check. The Bucks bye is not then, so I don't have to worry about that.
Bucks bye is this week.
It's this week. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, week 14, they might very well be RB2s if they're both playing.
Yeah, Yeah, both worth rostering, both worth putting in your starting roster, but just don't expect, you know, don't put them in there and expect them to just go off because they're going to hamper each other's value.
No. And different than the Chicago situation, Leonard Fournette is not an unrestricted free agent after this year. Yeah. He's there for another 2 years. So.
Yep, yep. All right, so we're going to move past these running backs because those are all, guys, it's useful information. People want to pick up the back that's going to produce from, especially with these bye weeks, like you said, Joey. But, you know, talked about Fournette's injury. Kevin Tompkins isn't here for the Kevin Tompkins injury report. So filling in for him, we got the Jordan Loop injury report.
Yay! Injuries. No, so do you guys want the good news or the bad news first?
Bad news first.
Okay, Zach Ertz.
I can tell you eat dessert before dinner. That's what I can tell.
Zach Ertz, he's injured. He's injured bad. So looks like he has torn his ACL. So he's done for the season. We'll see if he rehabs and comes back next year. But he's an older player, so I hope we haven't seen the last of him. But never know. Cooper Kupp, it was not the worst case scenario. There were no fractures, but it does look like a high ankle sprain, as was mentioned in the chat. So only the ankle got high. But yeah, so it is going to be a multiple week injury. We'll see if they're able to somehow stay alive in the playoff hunt. If not, I don't know that you're going to rush him back for what, you know, if they don't really have a shot. So, I would not count on him being back for your playoff run in fantasy, but you just never know. But it looks like multiple weeks. Jerry Jeudy looks like positive news for him. So MRI today, everything was negative on that. So it's possible that he plays this week. So they haven't made that determination yet, but it doesn't
look
like
that's great news. You know, you got to get those Broncos in your lineup.
Yeah, yeah. So Kendall Hinton was playing like 99% of snaps yesterday. So good times. The former
almost had Kendall
quarterback.
Hinton
season. The former
friend of the show, Kendall Hinton.
Yes. Juju saw him yesterday. Scary looking injury. Took a shot to the head. So he will be in concussion protocol, obviously, this week. I saw today that it's likely that he will miss at least week 11. As they look to get him back to 100%. After that, and we talked about Fournette, looks like just a hip pointer, should be ready to go after the bye. So look for that committee, and we'll see how that breaks down then in week 12. But those are the big ones from yesterday. Joey did mention Khalil Herbert, so there was no update on that today. So it was one of those declined comments when asked how he's doing. So. We'll just have to wait and see later on in the week when practice reports come out. So,
Scamper's injury sucks so bad because him and Patty have finally started getting on the same page, which, you know, can take some time when you're new to a system. And they finally, like, he was getting peppered with targets and everything was like trending upwards. And that shit's so heartbreaking. Like, I can handle a broken leg or an arm or something, like seeing it, but head, neck, and trunk injuries just fuck me up. That should suck.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But it did open the door for Kadarius Toney a little bit. So hopefully Juju does come back soon and we could see both of them in that offense. Because you said it, Juju was starting to click with Pat. They were starting to really be on the right page. And now you add Kadarius Toney to the mix, who is an electric playmaker with the ball in his hands. And again, I've been saying balls in hands a lot today. I don't like it.
But I do. I think it's okay.
But Tony's the type of guy who could do it on limited touches, too. Like, he doesn't need to get a heavy target volume. If he gets 5, 6, 7 passes thrown his way in a game, he catches a few of those, he could make something happen with them. So, that's the first waiver wire ad that I'm going to talk about today, is that if he's out there, go grab him. Because especially if Juju's going to miss a little bit of time, he gains a couple of extra targets. But even once Juju's back, he's going to be a playmaker in that offense and the guy that Pat goes to get to make big plays. I also think that Donovan Peoples-Jones is a good waiver add. I'm surprised to see that he's still out there, guys. Like, this guy's been consistently targeted for weeks now, and maybe you forgot about him because he was on bye last week, but he came back this week and picked up right where he left off, getting that target share. And I think that, hey, volume is king, right? So if he's getting the passes thrown his way, pick him up. He's a flex player, and he's a bye week fill-in for sure. I mean, he might even crack your wide receiver three if you're playing a three wide receiver set for sure. Like, he's been getting the targets. I've been riding with him in my lineup a couple of places. The last one I'm going to bring up, maybe a little bit of a homer pick, but I'm going to say go out and stash Julio Jones. I did it in a couple of leagues, and I didn't play him yesterday when he scored the touchdown, but I think as the season progresses and the Bucs start to make a playoff push, Julio Jones is going to kind of play that Gronk role as the guy who has to make the big plays for Tom Brady. He's not going to play a full complement of snaps. He's still going to have Evans and Godwin running ahead of him, but he's going to be a big play guy. He's going to be a guy that Brady counts on. So even if he gets five or six targets a game, two or three of those are going to be high leverage targets that probably end up going for touchdowns in most games. So talk about week 14 buys. That could be where he comes into play. So he's a good stash, not a confident start every week, but with injuries and buys still in the mix, I think Julio is going to play a role on that Bucs offense. Who do you have, Joey, as your waiver pickups?
Yeah, so two guys, Christian Watson. Aaron Rodgers notoriously is someone that looks for rapport with a player, and I think he established that rapport the last couple of weeks with Christian Watson. So I'm going out there and trying to add in him. But one guy I really like is Paris Campbell, and he's a guy that I really liked early in the season. When he had Matt Ryan in the two games, 17 receptions, 127 yards, and two touchdowns. You know, yesterday he had seven receptions for 76 yards and a touchdown. The coaching staff got really behind Paris Campbell. But then, for some reason, when Sam Erlinger came in, just didn't look Paris Campbell's way. Now Matt Ryan's back, and I want Paris Campbell on my team. So those are my two guys with 12 teams sitting nearby in the next 4 weeks. You know, Paris Campbell could very well be a start for you.
I love that. I have so much best ball Paris Campbell. He was my late round guy. I love hearing that, Joey. Loop, who's yours?
So we talked about the Zach Ertz injury. So you've got to look at Trey McBride. So rookie tight end, a second round pick. So they already had a plan in place that he was going to be the replacement for Zach Ertz at some point. So now it looks like that time has come. So they do need the weapons. Hollywood Brown is not quite back yet. So looks like maybe a couple more weeks until he returns. So McBride yesterday played 91% of the snaps. Now that may be because they didn't have as many guys active, and they didn't expect Ertz to go down, obviously, but he handled the load, played 91% of the snaps. So, he may not get that high moving forward, but he should be the tight end one as we move forward. So definitely would look to him. And then the other guy is Odell Beckham Jr. So we've heard reports for the last few weeks that maybe the Cowboys and this and that. He's going to sign somewhere, and it's not going to be much longer. These teams are preparing now for a playoff run. We're starting to see injuries to some receivers, and there's going to be a team that needs weapons to make that run. So he's going to get signed somewhere. Now, how effective he'll be coming back after the injury, we don't know, but I did see that he was cleared by doctors to return to play. So it should be a situation where he gets signed and he's pretty much ready to go. So wherever that is, it's going to be someone who needs a receiver and should get him involved. If it's somewhere he's going to sign, it's someone that's going to play him, right? He's not going to go somewhere to ride the bench or be a fourth or fifth receiver.
Yeah.
So that's the guy that I'm looking at as well.
All right. I'm curious to see how he comes back from the injury. You see him running on the treadmill looking great, but let's see him in the game. So might be a good speculative stash for you though. Like you said, he'll be playing. Linda, who you got?
I just want to say that I hope OBJ goes to the Bills because they clearly need a wide receiver too. Gabe Davis ain't it. I don't care what he's done on a fantasy landscape, but I'm not for it. Anyway, I think JB probably filled this in for me. I was not sure that my internet was going to work today, so I didn't get the whole show sheet filled out. But Cole Kmet is not going away. I know he's touchdown dependent. I know that's not a thing that we love, but we're talking about tight end. So I don't really care how they get the points as long as they're scoring points. And since that loss to Washington in the Thursday night game when they lost to Washington in week six. So from week seven through this week, Justin Fields is the overall QB1. Cole Kmet is the overall tight end one. Darnell Mooney is a wide receiver two, wide receiver 22 in PPR. I'm telling you all, that offense has opened up. And if that's who he's targeting in the end zone, then so be it. I don't care where you target him. You're throwing it 50 yards downfield for him to catch it or doing it in the red zone. It's clearly an option for Fields to target his big tight end in the end zone. So I don't understand why we would turn away from that. Ryan Weiss over at, I think he works for Fantasy Pros, but he's also with Club Fantasy, has written about his schedule the rest of the season is very tight end friendly. I think the touchdowns continue to come. Again, you may week and he's going to get 3 points and that's going to suck. But I think for the most part, you can pretty much bank on a good game from Cole Kmet going forward.
Yeah, I like it, and especially at that position, Linda. You talked about it. You know, it is a pretty dependent position. So, you know, if you're getting a guy with volume that's catching touchdowns, then sign me up. That's what you want at that position. We did get this, yeah, and the Bears D sucks. So they're going to give up points, which means they're going to have to keep scoring points. You're absolutely right, Scampers. So Monday Night Football has started. We've got our first score of the game, and fittingly enough, it was a Jalen Hurts rushing touchdown. So we're going to run through this quickly because the game did start. Are we getting Cole for Christmas this year? Craig, it came early, baby. It came early. What are you looking forward the most tonight? Real quick, just hit on it real quick. We'll get through final thoughts and we'll wrap it up and go watch some football. Joey, what are you looking forward to tonight?
You're muted, baby.
I made it all the way through the show and I didn't do the amateur thing. And then I finally do it. No wonder Razzball fired me. No, Devonta Smith. I want to see him show up tonight. It's been a few weeks. He's somebody I was really excited about to start the season. So I'm hoping to see Devonta Smith show up tonight for sure.
I like it. He had a great matchup the first time they played.
I just did that.
Linda.
Well, it is Devonta Smith's birthday and he has a fire outfit on. His pregame outfit was... Oof. Chef's kiss. So hopefully he has a banger of a game. I'm looking forward to seeing Taylor Heinicke versus the Eagles defense. Defense is tough as shit. Taylor Heinicke seems to play really, really well when his back is against the wall. As soon as you're like, this dude ain't it, he shows why like he's exciting to watch. And so it's thrilling football. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Can he turn it on with his back against the wall against a stout defense?
I thought you were just really mean, and you're like, I want to see this guy get eaten alive by the Eagles defense.
How can you not root for Taylor Heinicke? I'm all for Heinicke's storyline.
Yeah, I like it. Luke, what about you?
I have a lot of Logan Thomas that I was getting late in drafts, and what I want to see is, will he catch a pass? It seems like it's been since the Obama administration since he's had a stat. But no, he was out for several weeks. He's been back for two games, didn't catch a pass in either of the last two games. So two zeros is not getting it done for me. So I just want to see, is he involved in the offense or not? Right. He's playing, you know, over half the snaps, 60-70% of snaps, but just not getting involved in the passing game. So hopefully that changes.
Yeah, fair thought. And I want to see how involved Curtis Samuel stays in that offense. He's been great. He's been performing as a high-end wide receiver, too, in the fantasy landscape. Now with Dotson back in the mix, does he continue to stay as big of a part of that offense? I don't think it changes. I think they want him to continue to be a focal point of the offense, but I'm curious to see if the targets go down at all. Final thoughts, guys. Joey, this is new for you. Final thoughts can be anything. Football, non-football. Could be Christmas. It could be something at home. It could be something related to your kids. Or it could be something related to football or fantasy football. Joey, what is your final thought?
Guys, we're all out there. We're all having a good time. We're all putting our work in this season. Everybody just be kind to each other. Just be nice to each other. That's all. Just be positive.
Love it. I love it. Miss Positivity. Linda, what is your final thought?
That's what I was going to say. There's a lot in particular today. And obviously, you know, we go through phases. Sometimes the community is very with it and doing great. And other times it is just burning from the inside out. Yeah. Quit telling people how they celebrate when they should take their L's. I have been both incredibly wrong and then very right about Cole Kmet this season. It isn't over. There are no victory laps or L's to take or whatever the hell all the kids are saying these days. Let's get to the end of the season before we do a thing. And by the way, celebrating that a player scored a touchdown or had a breakout game is in no way taking a victory lap. No. I thought Cole Kmet was going to get 100 targets this year. That's not going to happen. That being said, he is having a breakout season, which is what I predicted. That's a win. Don't tell me not to celebrate that win. I'm going to do it. That's all I'm saying. Just, it's okay. Have fun. It doesn't have to be, my God, just everybody smoke a blunt. All right.
Loop, what about you?
Yeah. You guys pretty much nailed it. What we're all doing here, we're talking about a game about a game. So at the end of the day, have fun. It's really not that serious. I promise you. Now I know that this is some people's livelihoods and all that kind of stuff, right? But at the end of the day, it's supposed to be fun. If you're not having fun doing it, stop doing it. I mean, stop playing, stop producing content, whatever. If you don't enjoy it, then it's time to take a step back. So that's what I'll say. If it's not fun, then take a break. So try to have fun. It's all good vibes, should be anyway. It's fantasy football. It's fun. We all love it, obviously, or we wouldn't be sitting here talking about it on a Monday night, right? So just try to have fun, guys. Yeah. Enjoy it.
And we've all learned it in the past few years, right? The four of us here, our friends in the community that we talk to all the time. This industry comes with a lot of highs and a lot of lows, and it changes not even week to week. It changes literally minute to minute. Like, I do DFS articles and I could be, you know, up at the top and all these great things happening, and 5 minutes later, somebody else scores and now I plummet. Like, it just, yeah, it happens that quickly. And it just, you know, there's no need to go at people. There's no need to brag and boast. If you want to celebrate your wins and mourn your losses in public on Twitter as you choose, be my guest. Go ahead. And nobody has any right to tell anybody else what they can, what they should, what they shouldn't be doing. So that's my thought on that. My final thought is Tom Brady is not a freaking wide receiver. What the hell are you doing? Like, I understand. Like, they split him out wide a couple of plays earlier, right? They let Fournette take a direct snap and he ran it. Nobody covered Tom Brady. Like, they didn't even line up anyone on Tom Brady. So they saw that on the sidelines and said, shit, we're going to store that one and we're going to do that again later. And then we're going to throw him the ball. But they did it like 6 minutes later and somebody was covering him. So it was like, okay, that's not the time to do it, especially when it's their best corner that's lined up next to Tom Brady. Like, if you want to try that again and he's not going to be covered by anyone, okay, fine. You want to be cute, be cute. But guys, Tom Brady's not a receiver. What the hell are you doing? That was so stupid. But we got to laugh out of it. That's my final thought. So I appreciate, Joey, you coming on the show with us, man. No, you've problem. Been here.
Anytime.
You're a day one, bro. You're always with us. You're anytime. An honorable bestie no matter what. And thank now you're you. Here as a part of the show once again. Thank you to everybody who joined us. Everybody who was in the chat, anybody who is watching, thank you to Razzball for hosting us on the YouTube page. Again, check out that Razzball YouTube channel. Check out the Fantasy Besties Twitter page. Check out Razzball.com. Check out at Cantaloupe_FF, at Lindellians, at the Joey Wright. For Kevin, Linda, Coop and Loop, and of course, our bestie guestie, the Joey Wright. I'm JB Barry at Fantasy Coach JB. We're the Fantasy Besties. Have a great week. We'll see you next Monday.
Bye, everybody.